And I've been blind, but now I see. With just one word, you can set me free. So in the name of Jesus, I am not alone. He's bigger than my problems. I find all my hope in the name of Jesus. He won't let me go. I stand on every promise and find my cornerstone.
Christmas, CMA Country Christmas.
A newborn king to see,
pow, rum pum pum pum. Our finest gifts we bring, pow, rum pum pum pum. To lay before the king, pow, rum pum pum pum. Rum pum pum pum, rum pum pum pum. So to honor him, pow, rum pum pum pum. When we come, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's so baby, pow, rum pum pum pum.
Here we go.
I am a poor boy too, pow, rum pum pum pum. I have no gifts to bring, pow, rum pum pum pum. That's fit to keep the king, pow, rum pum pum pum. Rum pum pum pum, rum pum pum pum. Shall I play for you, pow, rum pum pum pum? On my track, yeah, 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 yeah. He smiles at me, pow, rum pum pum pum. Me and my drum. Me and my drum.
Favorite, literally my favorite rendition of The Little Drummer Boy ever. Like, ever. When I first saw that, the very first time I saw that, it blew my mind. And I'm a drummer. Like, the very beginning of my music career was done on the drums. So the first time I ever saw that, I was like blown away. I see some people are having some issues trying to get on. I see Conserve Q say, where's Jeremy? Did I miss something? No, you didn't. I'm right here. People are going to have to make sure that they do an update on their phone app if they're watching on their phone app. I also see some people say they can't stand the ads. The ads only come at the beginning when you first come on when there's a live show. There's no ads in the middle of a live show. They only come on Rumble. If you're rewatching the show, and then they come like every, I don't know, 11 minutes or something like that. But let's make sure that we're all, at least our apps are updated. Our browsers are updated. Rumble's going to go through updates, and when they do, you're going to have to make sure that you update as well. That's what happens to a new platform, and relatively, they're still pretty new. So I want to say good morning to some of the people here. LL Kona, good morning. Bobby Mannion says, mine won't update. Sorry to hear that. T. Mitchell said, I updated, still issues. The best thing you can do is email support at rumble.com. Tell them your issue. They'll get it fixed right up for you. Unless Rumble boots you from the show, then you have to watch ads again to get in. You don't have to watch them. As soon as they come on, press refresh, and they're done. By the way, they're only 5 seconds. Turn up the background music. I can still hear you. Okay. Morning, Jeremy. Thanks for playing the Little Drummer Boy. You're very welcome. I've never seen that live. It's incredible. I've only heard it on the radio. Yeah, the live really got me. When I first saw that live, I was like, you got to be kidding me. That's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to turn on some of that background music there. Cindy, how you doing? Good to see you. Thank you very much for joining in. The update is on your own profiles, says Amanda. Thank you very much for that. Beautiful song, said Sherry. Well, folks, W. Wilson, congratulations for celebrating your 40th anniversary for your wedding. That's incredible. That is incredible. All right, let's get right to it. So I titled today's show, Are You Humble Enough? And I think it's a good question. I think a lot of us think we are. And maybe some of us live up to that. But I think we could always grow in being humble. And I sent a morning newsletter out. So make sure you guys check that. So you guys know exactly what verse we're going to be reading from today. Maybe you have it already pulled up, but it's going to be from James 4, 6 through 10. And there's a lot of verses in the Bible about being humble. And what does humble mean? I think we need to understand biblically what humble means in order to actually embrace heavenly humbleness. I do think there's a difference between heavenly humble and earthly humble. Now, both are trying to achieve the same thing. But if you're seeking heavenly humbleness, that's a whole nother ballgame. Now, there's earthly humbleness, which is more like, hey, man, let me get that lunch for you. And you go, no. I got it. You don't got to pay for me. No, let me get you. It's been a while since we've been out for lunch. I got you. Man, I can't let you do that. Trust me. I've got you. That's earthly humbleness. There's another kind of earthly humbleness. And my daughter, now this is, I'd say, an earthly humble thing to do, but with heavenly humble aspirations. Because she went out of her way. It wasn't like she was having lunch with a friend or, you know, offering to let somebody that she knows borrow money. That's earthly humble. But my daughter, Shaylin, I talked to her this weekend. And she told me a story. She told me a story about something that she did this weekend. I'm going to turn my voice up here just a tad. So my daughter, Shaylin, now has a job. Well, she's had a job for about 4 months now, I think. And obviously she's, you know, she's only a year and a couple months away from being 18. So she wants to start saving up money for life. And she really wants to travel across the country. Like we, I think all of us had that dream when we were younger, right? I'm going to try to make sure that my daughter has the ability to actually do that. So I've been helping her out with travel plans. I don't want her to drive. Okay. I don't want her to have to pay for gas and maintenance and worry about all that. So I found this train ride that goes across the country, and it sees the most beautiful sights and scenery. And she can get it for cheaper than driving, I'll tell you that. But she gets a little room to herself. She gets to be fed on the train. She doesn't have to worry about directions. She gets to see the countryside. So I've been trying to, you know, work with her on that and come up with a plan with her so she can actually see the country. But one thing that she's very excited about doing is being able to Christmas shop with her own money for really the first time. So she got a job and she has been Christmas shopping like crazy. And she's been calling me, "Dad, I'm able to get this, and I'm able to do this for somebody. I'm able to do this for somebody. I'm able to buy this for this person. I got you two gifts. I got them two gifts." And I said, "Oh, honey." And she's just so happy that she gets to give to others. This story is going to make you tear up, though. She calls me this weekend and she goes, "Guess what happened, Dad?" And I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Well, there's this woman and this girl, her daughter, who's a toddler. I think she's like maybe 3 or 4, getting out of the toddler stage anyway. Maybe 5. I think she's 5, actually. So definitely out of the toddler stage. Anyway, 5-year-old girl and this mother comes into the place where my daughter works. And in the store, there are these Christmas lawn ornaments. Not the blow-up ones where you plug them in and they blow up. But you know the hard plastic ones with the electric candle in the middle of them and you turn them on? There's like Santa and the Grinch and Frosty and all of those. Well, there's one that it's about 2.5 feet tall. And it's a little Cindy Lou Who from The Grinch. And every time this mother and this daughter come into the store, the little girl, like, it's her favorite character, for any Christmas character. And the little girl goes up and she hugs it and she spends time with it. And she always, during the Christmas season when her mom comes in with her, she's been asking her mom for that. And every single time she's come in, her mom says, "Honey, we can't afford that." Come to find out, the little girl and the mom's a single mom, no dad, and they're broke. You know, they like a lot of people. They don't have money to spend an extra $45 on something, which is definitely, we all understand that. And so this weekend, the little girl and her mom came in, and she said, "Again, Mommy, can we get this?" And her mom said, "No, we can't." So she went back, started shopping, and came back through, and my daughter said to the mom, while the little girl, as at the end of, they're getting ready to check out, the little girl's back over playing with the Cindy Lou Who, and my daughter, Shaylin, says, "It would really make me feel wonderful if you allow me to buy that for your daughter." Now, the mother, being very humble, says, "No, I can't let you do that." And my daughter says, "Please let me do that for you." And the mother said, "Look, I can't accept something like that from somebody that I don't really even know." My daughter said, "Look, I'm 16 years old. I don't have any bills. I don't have really anything to spend my money on. And I really want to bless you and your daughter with this." And after much convincing, the mother finally allowed my daughter to buy that for her. Now, the mother was being very humble. Very humble. She ended up letting my daughter buy that for her. And I couldn't be more of a proud dad. I smiled from ear to ear. Now, when she called, my dad and my sister and my nephews and nieces and my dad's wife and so many people were there at my house for a Christmas or a holiday dinner. And my daughter wasn't with us. And we were just talking about her before she called. And I said, it really would be nice if Shaylin was here, you know? It's Christmas and the holidays and the family together. And I really miss my daughter. And then she called with that news. And I realized she's here. She may not be here physically, but she's here. And when I got off the phone with her and I told everybody that, I realized that everything that I taught her, she is embodied and she is applying to her life. Now, this is my daughter. Remember, her and I were like inseparable. So every time I would go somewhere, I'd bring her with me. And if we saw somebody needing a ride or somebody needing money on the side of the road, we would stop and give them money. We'd go to the ATM if we saw them and we didn't have any cash. We'd go to the ATM, we'd get 20 bucks, we'd come out, we'd give it to them. If somebody needed a ride, somebody was hitchhiking, I'd pick them up. And I'd always bless them before they left or they got out of the car. So my daughter has grown up with this. And she's now applying it to her life. So speaking of humble, I was very proud to tell you that story this morning. So if you could please join with me in the morning's prayer, and then we'll get started with the verse of the day. Amen? Okay. Lord and Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is to humble ourselves in the name of Jesus Christ, to be more like our Savior, your Son. Nothing in this world feels better than giving love, helping others, both stranger and familiar alike, and humbling ourselves from the inside out according to your will. There's no greater feeling. Today, Lord, we're going to search our souls. We're going to search our hearts and find out if we are humble enough. If we are seeking to be heavenly humble, to grow on top of our earthly humbleness. Lord, we know that there are so many people in this chat right now that are angry with somebody in their lives, that are holding a grudge against somebody in their lives. And we're also aware that other people are holding a grudge against us and are angry with us. And while we can't make them see that we're sorry for whatever we've done, we pray that you touch their hearts, their hardened hearts, and turn them into humble hearts today. We thank you for this message. We thank you for this show and this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are still hitchhikers? Well, there are in New Hampshire. I don't know if that's the same everywhere, but there are in New Hampshire. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please share the show. I know that we're not getting a lot of audience last 10 days or so, and a lot of that has to do with not just because it's the holiday season, but also because they're having issues with the Rumble chat. And a lot of people, if they can't chat live, they won't watch. Which I think is unfortunate. A lot of people, if there's a problem or an issue technically, but that doesn't prevent them from actually watching, they still won't watch. And that's unfortunate. Let's pray for those people. And let's pray that their issues get fixed, both technically and personally. Again, if you have any issues with Rumble, please email support at rumble.com. You can also watch us live on X, too. Okay? Normally, you'll see my notes, and my notes are 2 pages long. Want to see how long my notes are this morning? That's it. That's it. Not a lot there, is there? But that's okay. That's okay. While you guys are opening up your Bibles to James 4, 6 through 10, I want to read from Jesus Calling this morning. And everybody who's typing in the chat, not sure if you can see me, we see you. So just know that everybody else sees you. And hopefully you'll be able to see their chat as well. But we do see you. December 16th. I am speaking in the depths of your being. Be still so you can hear my voice. I speak in the language of love. My words fill you with life, peace, joy, and hope. I desire to talk with all of my children, but many are too busy to listen. The work ethic has them tied up in knots. They submit wholeheartedly to this taskmaster, wondering why they feel so distant from me. Living close to me requires making me your first love, your highest priority. As you seek my presence above all else, you experience peace and joy in full measure. I also am blessed when you make me first in your life. While you journey through life in my presence, my glory brightens the world around you. While you guys get your Bibles ready, I want to tell you something that my sister said to me this morning. You guys know that my sister Crystal has been making leaps and bounds in her new journey with Jesus. And she sent me this morning. I just finished Luke. I said, amazing, huh? Question mark. She said, absolutely. She also said that Justin Bieber has been doing a marvelous job with putting out gospel music lately. And she says, I love his new music. But this is the part that tells me how much she's growing in Christ. And I always like to give updates. She says, I'm starting not even to like my crime podcasts that I used to like. And the music that I used to like. Not so much anymore. I wake up wanting to read the Bible and learn. So different from 6 months ago. And I said to her, it's crazy, right? I have not listened to Tool in over 9 months, my favorite band of all time, because the last concert they were devil worshiping on stage and I was out. And I've had enough of that. She said, I don't blame you. And the more that you are on this journey, Crystal and everybody else, the more heavenly humble that you will become. Meaning that you'll get to a point when people make fun of you for following Christ, or when people call you names, or when people make you mad, or when people stab you in the back, or when people gossip about you, or when people screw you over and don't pay you back, may say the money that you lent them, you'll let it go. You'll let it go and you'll give it to God. And you will pray for them, people, instead of cursing those people. You will want them to know joy and peace, even though they want you to know pain and heartache. That's heavenly humble. I want to read something to you before we read the verse of the day that I wrote down today. T-Pots, your $5 donation went through, just so you know. Do you think that you are a heavenly, humble person? Well, wait until God instructs you to serve someone who has hurt you. Wait until God instructs you to bless somebody who has betrayed you. Wait until God instructs you to minister to the very people who have salted and defamed your name and your family. Are you humble enough? Let's go read the verse of the day today. And we'll start at 4:1, even though 4, 6 through 10 is the verses, are the verses that I want to focus on. And do you know what this is titled in the ESV version of the Bible? Warning against worldliness. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What is that saying? That's saying that if you ask and do not receive, then it is not of God's will. That means you are asking for something for God to do for you like a personal genie. And it is not righteous. It is not holy. It is not of God's will. So you do not receive. This is God alluding to the fact that you have not had your heart changed, that you still have a hardened heart in there somewhere where humbleness is not taken over and your heart is hard. That's what that's saying. Here we are, verse 4. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendships with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it to no purpose that the scripture says, he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? And now here's the verses that I want to focus on, 6 through 10. But he gives you more grace. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. What does that mean? Pride and humbleness. Two sides of the fence. Over here with pride, it's everything about self-flagellation, self-desires, selfishness, me, 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 I. I'm the center of the universe, and the world revolves around me. What can you do for me? We're on the other side of that fence. It says, humbleness. Others, others, others. You, you, you. You never mention self. It is selflessness, not selfishness. What can I do for you? If there's anything in my capacity here on earth to do for you, I will do it regardless what you think, what your politics are, what your religion is, what you think of me, how you act, all of it. I want to give to you. And when you have run out of resources because you are so heavenly humble, God will provide for you to continue to give to those people who have not. That is the big difference. Verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Folks, I want to tell you another story if I have time here. You know my neighbors? The ones who more than likely made a fuss to the town about the trailer and the truck, and maybe even are the ones that cut our Christmas lights. I don't know. But we spent, my wife, my children, we spent an entire 2 days baking goods. My wife and I went to the dollar store because that's where we like to shop because, you know, money. And we got a bunch of tins. Cost like maybe 12 bucks. And we filled each one of these tins with Rice Krispie treats, brownies, holiday sweets. And we got cards, biblical cards, that said something to the tune of, you know, the grace of God and humble hearts and, you know, the great things to know about Christmas. And we know pretty much most of our neighbors by their names because they introduced themselves to us when we first moved in. Gave us cards and let us know if we needed anything to call them. And we went to each of our neighbors and we gave them their tin of goods, baked goods, and their cards. We had an ice storm here this weekend. So everything was covered in sheets of ice. I know a lot of people have had that over the last week. But everything was covered in a sheet of ice. Cars, driveways, walkways. Now, some of the things that happened when we moved here is that we had to leave some stuff behind. Some shovels, lawnmower, you know, just stuff we didn't have room for. And hopefully we were going to, you know, get it again when we moved here. And just so happens that we weren't quick enough to get this ice scraper for our driveways because it was a sheet of ice. And here in the Midwest, with the wind blowing, things freeze over really quick. So I was out salting. Only had one bag of salt because we didn't expect an ice storm. I'm out salting, throwing it all over the driveway, throwing it all over the sidewalk. And my neighbor, whom is only one of two possibilities that it could have been about the trailer, came outside and said, "Hey, do you have a driveway ice scraper?" Now, first he said, "Do you have an ice scraper?" And I thought he meant for the car. And I was like, "Yeah, we have those." And he goes, "No, I mean for your driveway." And I go, "Oh, no, we don't have that." And he goes, "Would you like to borrow mine?" I said, "I'd love to. That's very nice of you. Thank you very much." So I sent my son over. He was outside with me. He sent my son over and he grabbed it and scraped our driveway and scraped the sidewalk. Now, the next day, it was 49 degrees, and all of it was gone anyway. And I knew it was going to be 49 degrees the next day. I knew, just based on living in a winter environment my whole life, that it's probably all going to melt tomorrow anyway. And we were just going to stay in for the day anyway. So there was really no reason for us to go out and scrape. There was no reason for me to even accept the fact that he offered. And I know that he's probably the one. But I accepted it anyway. Because I knew that he offered something as a sign of not a remedy to fix my driveway, but as a sign of peace. So I took it anyway. I only did half the driveway. And I did the sidewalk. Didn't bother doing the back area of the garage where we put our trash, which is also all like they put down like square stones, the people who lived there. So that was all covered nice. I didn't even bother doing that because I knew the next day was going to be warm. But the fact of the matter is, folks, it's about peace. And he took his hardened heart and he humbled himself. And I humbled myself and I received because I asked for. What did I ask for? I asked for peace. I asked for those neighbors. Remember I told you I was going to pray for them? And I was going to pray for whoever cut our Christmas lights. Now, there's many other Christmas lights that are on the ground plugged in that they could come and cut. Nothing has been cut since I prayed that day. My neighbors have not given me the stink eye since I prayed that day. So I asked for God to soften these people's hearts. God did so by humbling him and him asking me if I wanted to borrow the driveway scraper. And I humbled my heart enough to realize, or God, I should say, humbled my heart enough to realize in real time what he was doing. He was offering a peace offering, an olive branch he was offering. And I realized in real time, thanks to God, all glory goes to him, none to me, but what he was doing. And I accepted, even though I didn't need it. And I feel so much more at peace. Nobody wants to have a rift between them and anybody else, anyone else. Now, I could have fought this. I could have fought the city further. I could have fought them longer than I did. I could have basically had a screw you mentality to the neighbors for the rest of my existence. But that's no good. And you just got a bunch of people trying to avoid each other, so they don't have to be feeling uncomfortable or something when they're in each other's presence. It's no good. You don't want that. Who wants that? Godchick said, humility brings peace. And if my sister Crystal is watching, I would like to show you this video. And I hope she's watching. Why do we humble ourselves? Why do we want to be more like Christ? Well, to bring heaven to earth. That's why. There's no other reason. There's no other reason other than to bring a piece of heaven to earth and to show others the gospel, which is what? The good news. Serby said, what did you do with your trailer? Well, I had a place that I parked it anyways. Like there's the guy that owns the building that I'm in right now, he has a place where I parked my trailer. That's where it was always going to go anyway. That's where it was always going to go. I never had plans for it to stay at the house. I was just going to do that out of pride. Out of, oh yeah, you want to get my trailer removed? Okay. But anyway, going back to this, why do we humble ourselves? Well, it's because of who Christ is and what he did for us. Now, some people might have seen the Passion of the Christ, which is probably the closest depiction of what happened to Jesus during the crucifixion as we've ever, ever gotten with our eyes, with our own two eyes, being able to see the severity in which Jesus was crucified. The Passion of the Christ is probably the closest that we have. But I saw a video this weekend that said Jesus would have loved if he only had received the punishment that we saw in the Passion of the Christ, because it was much worse. And I saw this video and I started bawling because of how graphic this video describes Jesus' crucifixion. And I didn't know that portions of the Bible described some of the things that this video tells you till I went and looked. And let me just tell you something. What he went through is far worse than what we've seen on the Passion of the Christ. Thank you, Lifelike. I appreciate the $10 donation more than you know. God bless you. Listen up, folks.
Jesus would have loved to be treated the way they treated him on the Passion of the Christ. It was such a cute depiction of what really happened to him. And that was the best depiction we ever seen of Jesus' crucifixion. His intestines were hanging out. His entire rib cage was showing on both sides. His beard chunks were pulled out. His spine was opened up and exposed. The tissues and the muscles around his spine were exposed. He was beat, but naked. He was mutilated from his penis down. Isaiah chapter 11 says, you could not tell whether he was man or woman, and he was naked. He had to carry a 200-pound, 300-pound cross, like how we squat in the gym. He had to carry that for some miles up a hill with his body open, all his blood gone, completely no energy, and he carries it for a long way. Shows you how strong Jesus was in his human body. He gets pierced in his hands with nails. The nails are like railroad picks. It pierces through the nerves in his hands, and I don't know if you ever pinched a nerve, but all the nerves in his hands are pierced through. Nerve here, nerves here, and nerves in both his feet. So he has shocking nerve pain in both arms. But while he's on the cross, he's suffocating. This is all in the medical examination of what happened to him, right? He's suffocating. So he has to lean up to breathe, but he's on a rugged, splintery cross, and his spine is open. So he's rubbing splintery wood on his open tissues and muscles. For 6 hours, he's doing this to breathe and rubbing, while nerve pain is shooting in his arms and shooting in his feet. Every second of his life, every breath is the most excruciating pain he could ever take. And he doesn't say anything. Jesus would.
There's one thing that I will disagree with on that video. And that's the very last thing that he said before the video cut off. And he doesn't say anything. Oh, he said something. He said something. While he was experiencing that most crucial pain that anybody could ever go through, for you, he knew you by name while he was having that happen to him. He gave you the verse in there, Isaiah. Which is prophesying. What's going to happen to Jesus, which they did all through the Old Testament. But he said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. He then asked his Father, why have you forsaken me? And then finished with, it is finished. So he said something. But the way this man was talking is he didn't curse anyone. He didn't say, stop. He didn't ask for them to stop. He didn't ask forgiveness from them. He asked his Father to forgive those who ripped open his flesh so that his spine was rubbing on the back of that very splintered and old wooden cross. He didn't beg them to stop. He said, please forgive them. And then understanding what his mission was, he went through it all willingly because of you, because of me. And then when it was done, said, it is finished. That is why we want to humble ourselves. That's why we want to be like him. Can you think of anybody else that you ever want to be like? I remember as a kid, I wanted to be like this person and that person. I wanted to be a performer, an entertainer. And in some ways, I'm doing what I wanted to do as a kid. But a very different outlook and a very different mindset and from a very different place in my heart than I thought when I was a child. And now I only want to be like Jesus. I don't want to be like anyone else. I used to idolize people. When I was in business, when I first started my business journey, sales and marketing and things like that, I wanted to be like Dana White. I idolized Dana White. Probably why I'm such a big UFC fan or mixed martial arts fan. Till I realized that he's so far from God. And I'm not saying that I dislike or disrespect Dana White. I still think he's the most incredible promoter and businessman of next to Donald Trump of all time. But he's so far from Jesus. Why would I want to be like him? I want to be like Jesus. I want to go right to the source. So I want to humble my heart and I want to pray for those who persecute me. I want to bless those who betray me. I want to love those who loathe me. And I want to help them. I don't want to help them be like me. I want to help them know peace and joy. That's what I want to help. I want to help people feel the way I feel now in my life, as opposed to the way I used to feel before Christ. That's humble. That's chasing heavenly humbleness. And there's no end, by the way. Until you willingly allow yourself to be nailed to a cross physically like Jesus did and martyred like he was, there is no end to your humbleness. Bad Moon says the only reason why Satan still exists is because of man's weakness. Amen. If men and women would all go to Christ, Satan and the thought of Satan would die out. He wouldn't even be here. He would not dwell on this earth. He would dwell in hell, in the lake of fire where he belongs, where he'll spend eternity. That's incredible. I have another video here that I wanted to show you, and I've never played a video from this guy. I saw it this morning. I started watching it, and I said, wow, that's a pretty incredible video. When you are humble enough to be able to have a dialogue or a discussion or an argument with a devout Muslim and trade back information and lean on the Holy Spirit, you know you're making waves. You know you're heading in the right direction. And I'll tell you this, when you're backing Christianity, if you are allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through you, you'll be able to back up everything that you say. You'll be able to have an answer, literally, for everything, and you can always back up truth with scripture, something the other religions cannot do. Islam cannot do this. Buddhists cannot do this. Nobody can do this except for Christians, and there's a reason why. It's because all of those are fake and Christianity is true. I'm just going to play a few minutes of this, and I want you to watch it, okay? I know we're a little late. I wanted to play more, but had some stories to tell. Let's play this. Go ahead.
What I have to say?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm a Christian.
Okay.
So I don't believe that Jesus is a Muslim, obviously, because Muhammad and Islam came 600 years later after Jesus. Okay. So I'm saying historically, it literally doesn't make sense to say that Jesus was a Muslim when Islam came after. So that's my position.
Okay.
Right? But Muslims say, well, no, Jesus was a Muslim. You know, all the prophets were Muslim. And I'm just saying that doesn't line up with what history shows us about these people.
That's my
position.
Okay, so do you believe Jesus was the Son of God?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Because that's what he says in the gospel. In the Injil, the gospel, he says that I am the Son of God. He says that, you know, if you believe in me, no one will perish, but you'll have everlasting life. And without believing in me, then you have to face God's wrath. Right? So salvation is in him. That's what he says. So he says he's the Son of God, and he says to prove it, I'm going to die for your sins, and I'm also going to rise again in 3 days, which he did. And so because he rose again, it proved everything he said about himself was true, which included being the Son of God.
Okay, so I get that's part of your religion, so yeah. I can't argue that. We believe that Prophet Isa, Jesus, was a prophet for the sole reason that we don't believe that he actually did die on the cross.
Right.
We believe that it was
made to appear.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Made to appear. So, honestly, I didn't want to argue with you because
we could talk. We just exchange information.
I didn't know that was going to be like a camera.
You're going to be camera shy?
Yeah.
Getting a little nervous?
I didn't know it was going to be like a crowd. Yeah, we believe that he was a prophet for the sole reason that you can't have, we don't believe that you can have a son of God, because that means that there, God is a living, like, fate, has a face, has hands, has emotions, has, we don't believe that. We can't say that, like, God is a figure. Like, Prophet Muhammad, for us, peace be upon him, he has no face. None of the prophets have faces. We don't attach faces because that means that we're attaching imperfections. God can't
believe
have
that
imperfections.
The prophets are you said the prophets don't have face or God?
Like, you will never see a picture of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Depends on what time you go back to. Some of them do have portraits.
That
would be
the
wrong.
Most, like, offensive thing in our religion.
Gotcha.
Okay, now we're going to pick this video up tomorrow because we don't have a lot of time today. But I wanted to set the stage for tomorrow. I wanted to set the stage for watching the rest of that video, because you'll see that throughout the whole thing, she contradicts herself 100 times. She backs herself into a corner. She has no scripture from or verses from the Quran to back her claims up. He just shuts her down very eloquently and very nicely. Okay, he's very nice to her throughout the whole video. She can't stop getting fumbled up. And he just goes, well, that's not what this says, and that's not what that says. And he knows the Quran too. So a lot of people say, don't ever learn any other religions. Well, how can you combat other religions if you don't know the inadequacy of that religion? I think knowing as much as you can as much as you possibly can is probably the best thing you could ever do. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to leave you with, again, King and Country. God bless you. Humble yourselves. Right the wrongs. Even if it goes against everything you've ever been taught. Because that's what God wants you to do. Mike Crispy comes up next, followed by 2 hours of Live from America. I love you guys. See you later.
CMA Country Christmas.
A newborn king to see, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. Our finest gifts we bring, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. To lay before the king, pa-rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum-pa-bum-bum. Rum bum bum bum.
Come on, we're gonna finish this out strong today.
So to honor him, ba rum bum bum bum. When we come, yeah, 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 yeah. I have no key.
He smiles at me, pow-rum-pa-bum-pum. Me and my drone.
Finish out strong.
Me and my drone.